Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K. And today we're joined by a special guest. He was in the UFC, in the WEC, in Bellator, in karate combat. He had 3 title fight wins in lightweight in the WEC, 4 UFC lightweight championships in the UFC, tying Khabib, the most in the division's history, making him one of the most accomplished fighters of all time. He's an MMA legend. And also, he doesn't know this, but I've mentioned his name on almost 70 to 80 times on the show because he is my favorite fighter. So please welcome to the show, Smooth Benson Henderson. How are you, mate?
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. I'm doing pretty good today. Doing pretty good. Hey, can't forget BJ either. Can't forget BJ. I think Frankie too, right? Who are all tied for the most defenses for lightweight. BJ is the man, so definitely can't forget to give him his props. And Frankie too. Frankie as well.
Hey, let me ask you about Khabib quickly because I had it written down. So in the current era of lightweight champions and people in the lightweight division that just were amazing fighters, I would say there's some fights here that you missed out on only because of the timing, because of the ages.
Yep.
But out of these fighters, who do you think you would have wanted to fight most? Out of Dustin, Charles Oliveira, Khabib, or Gaethje?
All of them. I think they would all be good fun fights. All of them. Line them up back to back to back. No worries. I think, like you said, missed out wise. I think Dustin was at 45 in the WC. I was at 55. Oliveira as well. He's at 45 before those guys bumped up. And then I was over in Bellator while they were doing their thing in the UFC. But I think they'll all be good, fun fights. You know, I'm always game for that.
Why did you think it was important to fight Pettis a third time in karate combat?
Anytime, you take a loss against anybody in anything, for real competitors, against anybody in anything, they want to get that loss back, definitely Pettis, he was up 2-0 on me. He had 2 wins on me, especially with the kick, the Showtime kick, especially with that, definitely wanted to get my hands on him again. So karate combat, they emailed me, they hit my managers. I was like, Pettis, karate combat, let me look this up. Like, yes, first of all, if it's against Pettis, I don't care if we're playing table tennis. Let's do it. Let's go after it. It's freaking football, soccer, whatever. I'm down. And then I looked up karate combat. I was like, oh, that's cool. It's an interesting rule set. But I was definitely very excited to go against him again.
How important has your faith been in your fighting career when it comes to your skills as well as just pushing through fights?
I think for me that faith is pretty pervasive throughout everything, not just my career, not just fighting, but literally throughout my life, through and everything I do. We are all flawed, sinful human beings. That's the way we're made. We can't help it. We're born perfect for about 3-4 days, 5 days, perfect little angels, and we're little tiny babies. But after that, human nature, makes us sinful creatures. So my faith in God and in His grace and His forgiveness, it's a lot. It means a lot to me, and not just in fighting, but in everything.
Do you think that this influenced your creativity in the cage?
For sure, a little bit. I think it influenced my willingness to go the distance, not have any fear to go swim the deep waters. I know that I could lay it all on the line because I live for much bigger things than just this one win, just this one loss inside the cage. If you're afraid of just that one win or afraid of just that one loss, it'll make you fight differently. Me not having that fear, having my faith that, hey, there's much more important things in this world, much more important things in this universe. There's much more important things in my life than just this one fight. That allowed me to lay it all on the line. Not too many fights did I feel like stifled, and I was just kind of too gun shy to let go. Couldn't quite get going. I was always able just to let it fly, and I think that was a big source of it.
People say that you're the first calf kicker in the UFC. Now, this is a contentious topic because there's some fights, if you date back a year to 2 years before your fights, there's a calf kick in there. So I want to ask you, where did you learn the calf kick and when did you start doing it?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think in the UFC, it is what it is. But in the UFC, as far as targeting the calf and not like accidentally kicking too low on accident, but actually specifically targeting the calf, I think I brought that to the UFC early on because my boy Adele, my Habibi, my good friend, my good buddy, my training partner Habibi did it to me at the gym. And he did it on purpose. He kicked me in my calf. And normally, pretty good body conditioning. Take a traditional Muay Thai thigh kick. No problem. Easy peasy. And then we were sparring. And then he kicked me in the calf. I was like, oh, what the? It's like, oh, like, took me a second. I got discombobulated. Took me a second, gathered myself again. And he did it again. It's like, what the? I was like, oh, I'm going to beat you up. I realized how effective it was. So then I stole it. And I started using it in training. Started working really well for me, so I started using my fights.
So you've done Karate Combat, Bellator, UFC. I want to ask you, there's a whole bunch of people in the BKFC that are old MMA legends. Do you think that if they gave you an opportunity to fight a legend, that you would take it?
Money talks. Do I really want to go on BKFC? Not really. It'd be cool though. It'd be fun. It'd be exciting. I like to think of myself as a true martial artist in that aspect. I would love to test myself in a traditional Muay Thai fight in Thailand. I would love to test myself in a couple of boxing matches, boxing bouts, traditional like regular old boxing rules, no kicking, no punching, no boxing. I would love to have a sambo competition. I'm getting ready to go do another IBJJF jiu-jitsu competition in the gi. I'd love to have some taekwondo matches. I'd love to test my true martial arts aspect. How much can I improve? How much I can get better? And what different facets can I express myself? And I think that it's fun for me. I like it. I enjoy it. It's a lifestyle for me. It's not just fighting tough guy, meathead, and this and that. Like it's cool. It pays a good bill if you want to be famous. It's a decent way to be famous, I think there's a lot easier things to do than trying to be famous than fighting. But some people like literally fight just because they want their name out there, so that's cool too. Good for you. But I think I like to compete because of the true martial arts aspect of it, and testing myself in this form of combat, in this form of combat, in this form of combat. Let's see which one I need more work on. Which one is the best style? Which way can I express myself the best? So I kind of like doing that. I just did a wrestling tournament, college, good old U.S. American college wrestling tournament, a couple of months ago. Got beat up by some of them youngsters. They came after me, the old man. I was like, oh, you son of a! I won four, lost two, but I had a good time. I had fun, and that was the true martial artist going out there and testing myself and having fun.
The reason I like your style so much is that it's so diverse, it's creative, it's smooth. It really is.
Thank you.
And I like the fact that you do have a wrestling game, you do have jiu-jitsu defense, offense, you have a clinch game, you have a kicking game and diverse kicks, knees, elbows, punches, you have hard punches too, you have combinations and good head movement. It's the style that is so you, and it's like you can't even replicate it, right? But I want to ask you, who do you think have you seen in the MMA world that has been maybe the closest to emulating you? Have you seen anyone? Because so far, I haven't really seen anyone do what you did, how you did it. I mean, there's some variations. To go on a tangent, I like to bring up Shavkat Rakhmonov because he's got a really diverse game. He's constantly switching everything up, and he wasn't like you with the big power kicks and the punches, but he's got this style where it's I'm not gonna rush the fight. It's gonna be a point contest, and then if you fight me, I'll fight you back, and it's all timing. Okay, you're in a bad position, we're brawling. We're in a good position, we're point fighting, and it's not rushed. And that's what I really liked about your fight style, because you fought the same from your fourth and fifth round that you did in your first. And I think I haven't seen too many people do that.
Speaking on that, first of all, is cardio is king. I had the best, I have the best strength and conditioning coach in the planet, I believe, Jared Akey. He's the secret sauce behind it all. But it doesn't matter how good you are, how great your style is, this and that. If you get tired first, man, you're gonna have a bad night. So the whole idea for me fighting for a long time, part of my career, my whole entire career, was to get the other guy first. I can readily admit there were probably a couple of fighters out there who were maybe a little bit better than I was, who were a little more technically proficient at boxing or this or that or whatever. But I beat him up because I got him tired first. I made him swim to that deep water, and they weren't quite ready for that. So I do like the mix of different styles, because everyone has a good style. Everyone has something they're good at. You know, like they're a great boxer, they're a great jiu-jitsu person. Oh, they have great kicks. They have whatever it is. You know, the whole idea of fighting is finding that weakness. Where they not good at? Oh, you're a good boxer. We're boxing. You're doing a really good boxer. Okay, well let's turn it up. Let's change it. Let's go to start kickboxing. I'm strictly throwing kicks at you. Every time you punch me, every time you fake a punch, every time you feint a punch, I'm gonna kick you instead. So let's see what you do with that. Oh, you're good kick defense too. Okay, you know how the proper defenses and which way to go and fire back and whatnot. Okay, so your clinch game. Let's clinch it up. Let's do it from there. Let's do like a Muay Thai clinch. See how good you are from there. But being able to probe, engage, and find your opponent's weaknesses, and then always keep mixing up on them. Go back to the boxing. Going back to this. Going back to that. As soon as they think it's a boxing match, switching it up, turn it to a wrestling match. So they think they're just pure wrestling, pure wrestling, pure wrestling. Just control, no submissions at all. Then switch your jiu-jitsu game and slap on a couple of submissions. You know. So I think it's very important, very crucial to be great at all facets of MMA and not just rely on this or that or this or that, but to be great at everything. And it's hard. There's not enough time. But you think about how long amazing world champion boxers, how many years they spend boxing. They spend literally 25 years perfecting their being boxers and getting great to being the best jiu-jitsu guys. Same idea. They spend literally 20 years of their lives dedicated, hardcore study, practice, eating, training, everything you're supposed to do to be the best in the world at jiu-jitsu. And then same thing for karate guys, same things for pure wrestlers, same thing for every facet of MMA. And as MMA guys, we come along, man, we gotta condense all that down, we gotta boil all that down. You still need, say, 20,000 hours of just boxing practice. We still need that 20,000 hours of boxing practice. Oh, wait, by the way, we need 20,000 hours of jiu-jitsu practice. We need 20,000 hours of wrestling practice. We need 20,000 hours of just Muay Thai clinch. So that, it makes it hard, but you just got, you know, not enough hours in the day, not enough hours in the day. But you should always be constantly working on the next this, the new that, this, that, that. Always trying to improve and get better in all facets.
So why did you end up retiring in Bellator instead of going to the UFC and retiring from MMA in a bigger corporation? Was it a statement by you, do you think?
I don't think necessarily it was a statement for me. First of all, the reason why I retired, I still try to stay pretty active. Like I'm still pretty healthy and still pretty spry and stuff, you know. Still train at the gym every day, still train with the same training partners, focus on helping them get ready and everything. But the reason why I retired so that my wife has her chance to live her dream, to go chase her dreams and everything like that. And, you know, she has a limited time. She was initially thinking about training, starting fighting around she was 22, 23. We had a couple of babies. So pushed it off by about 5, 6, 7 years or so for too long. So now it's her chance to really embrace training and going and being the best in the world. And that's the reason why I retired. I retired while I was in Bellator because I knew this was my last run. And then whenever it's my wife's turn. So whenever I lose next, I'm going to be done. And I just happened to lose right then against Usman. And so I was going to give the call. I knew that whenever I decided it was my wife's turn to fight, okay, it's not my wife's turn. I had a, you know, pretty good career. I've done pretty well for myself. Now it's, you know, Maria's turn. So whenever I lose next, then, you know, then it'll be my time to retire.
What do you think about Usman if he were to go into the UFC? Do you like his skills there?
Yeah, I think he's really good. I think he's a solid, great takedown defense. You know, obviously coming from his camp or not. I think he can wrestle if he chooses to, if he wants to, and he has a very surprising offense on his feet, you know. So I think he'd do very well. I think I think you would have to throw him up there right away, especially with his background, where he comes from. You have to put him right away at the top three in the UFC, I would say.
When did you start at the MMA lab?
I started at the MMA lab pretty early on in my career. I think I graduated in 2006. I know I graduated in 2006. I had my first pro fight, and then I moved to the gym in 2007. Oh, man, 2008 maybe.
I wrote that down. It's in the show notes that you did have your first fight in 2006, and I wrote it down on purpose. Because my birthday is 2003, and I wanted to see how you felt about that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Does that make you happy that you're still doing this?
It makes me feel good. It confirms the lifestyle I've chosen. I've chosen a lifestyle that not a lot of people understand or not a lot of people can embrace. I've never had a sip of alcohol in my entire life, never smoked, never done any drugs, never done anything. I live in a very clean lifestyle. I eat. The worst thing I do is probably eat not very healthy. You know, I have a When I was fighting, I'd have a whole pack of Oreos, peanut butter Oreos. I'd have a whole pack free at midnight, 1 a.m. I'd break and have a whole pack. It was like 2,170 calories I would eat right then and there. Wake up early next morning, I go burn the calories off. I gotta run these calories off. But the lifestyle I've chosen, I think it has shown through in what I do and how I live. And it's not just the martial arts aspect of it, not just fighting, but in being healthy. And hopefully being, 80, 85, 90 years old, but having a decent body at 85 years old, being able to walk up, get up on my own, walk around, talk to my great grandkids, hopefully, and still be of sound mind as well, you know. So it's literally, it's not just I'm happy about it. 2006 is a long time ago, 2003, but just a confirmation of, hey, it's probably good you live this lifestyle, and it's gonna have much larger repercussions. I'm going to benefit from this lifestyle I've chosen a lot more than just my fighting career, but just in life.
How's training now that you're retired? Would you consider yourself full time as you're training, or is it have you taken a step off the gas? What's the schedule looking like?
The schedule's actually the same. My wife and I we're pretty blessed that way, that like we like to train, we enjoy it. So I have taken over a little more of the kids' duties. So we have a full-time nanny who picks the kids up from school. But other than that, though, like getting them ready for bed, picking them up, taking them to school in the mornings. I do all the morning runs. If I our nanny's not doesn't work that day, or if I need to, I go pick them up from school, and Maria's turn to focus on training. So, oh, I'm gonna go practice, and I'm gonna go here to go train. I'm gonna go here to go buy groceries. I'm gonna go here to do this, to that. So I think other than that, though, like, really, my schedule is kind of the same. I still go into the gym every day. One thing I maybe don't do is strength and conditioning. Strength and conditioning is a killer. My guy tortures me too, so it's fun. I do like it. I do enjoy it. But I will say that is what I miss out on the most. Like, I don't do now. Like, I don't go in and do a just strength conditioning on my own. I get a lot of it through training and practice. But otherwise, like, my training schedule, I still go in, instead of holding mitts, instead of hitting mitts, I'll hold mitts now, help guys work, guys get better. But I'm still getting pretty good looks from them holding mitts. I still throw kicks and whatnot. They still throw kicks back at me, but holding mitts now instead of hitting mitts. And then my regular practice times, I have really kind of all stay the same.
Because of the show Anything Combat, I've been training much more at different gyms. I've been getting invited and stuff. And I look at my bicep, I look at my wrist, and I've got two almost pimple type things on them. And I go, okay, whatever, it's whatever. And I got two staph infections, right? So I went to the
Oh, that
hospital,
sucks.
I got it all sorted out, right? I'm good now.
That's good.
That was
That's
a
good. I'm
week ago, 2 weeks ago. But I want to ask you, have you gotten anything like that? What's it called? Ringworm or staph? Have you ever gotten anything like that?
I have had ringworm a bunch of times. It's not as big of a deal. Ringworm is pretty common. Pretty easy enough. You get like athlete's foot medication from the store. You buy it over the counter. You rub it on. No big deal. It's gone in 2 days. Staph is a bad one. You definitely don't want to get staph. Luckily, I've been blessed. I've never had staff, never had MRSA, never had Infantigo,
You're
never had
joking.
no, never. My whole career, I've had ringworm a bunch of times. No big deal though. But in the other more serious type of infections, I have been pretty lucky in that sense.
Do I need to take time off? I'm taking time off for a little bit, but how long do you think I need to take off after the staff?
Once you're cleared and good to go, and you're not infectious anymore, you're not going to give it to anybody else. I've always been of the mindset, man, get after it. Like as long as you to be smart about it, be smart. Like don't go haul off and have a super hard training session, and your body's kind of depleted from the infection. So you don't want to go and kill your body, but go out there and break a good sweat and go have some fun, go learn some stuff, maybe do practice, but then sit out on the hard life part at the end. But do the technique of it, get a good sweat, have fun, do that kind of stuff. I think there's definitely two ways to go about it. You can be smart about it, or you can go out there and just go balls to the wall and go crazy. That's not smart, So I say be smart about it, but I say get in there as soon as I can.
Where did the once and future king originate from?
The once in I just forgot I just saw it just now. The Once in Future King, that was a great book by T.H. White. A fabulous book, amazing, classic. And where did it come from? I think my wife said it one time. I think I was actually reading the book. That's a good question. I'm guessing my wife said it. About being older and having the belt and getting the belt back, like, oh well, you're the belt holder, the champ, you're the man, and you still are. We can get back to it. We just need to get to that chance to win it back, and so kind of stuck since then. The Once in Future King.
You're not done. You're going to do more stuff, but about the MMA career, it is done. So I do want to ask you, are you happy with how it all went? Would you change anything? And what statements do you have about your career?
I would not change anything. I'm not one of those people who looks back like, oh, I wish this was different. I wish that was different. I was just like, I worked my butt off. I trained hard for every single fight. I trained my butt off. Every single fight I went into, I was as physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally prepared as I possibly could be going into those fights. So I wouldn't change anything in that aspect. Looking back at my career, like I had fun. It was cool. I enjoyed it. Looking back now, I am more open with myself a little bit. Like the whole time I was fighting, I never wanted to look back. I never said, "Oh, what do you think about this?" I was like, "Ah, I'm still fighting." So once I retire, maybe I'll sit back and look back at it a little bit. I am retired now, so I have been thinking about it a little bit more, and I think that fighting was cool. I love wrestling. I love jujitsu. That will always be a part of my heart, who I am. But I actually never really liked MMA that much. MMA was cool. It was fun and everything, and made some good money. But I was actually never a big fan of MMA. I love Taekwondo. I love Jiu-Jitsu. I love Muay Thai. But I was never a big fan of MMA. But it was a good career for me. I had fun. I would not change anything. Still being active. I had a couple of some of those YouTube boxing people email me. And so you might see me in a boxing ring pretty soon, hopefully, maybe. But still active, still having fun. MMA was the main career, and that was what I put my heart and soul into. And I had to win. It wasn't just a try your best and this and that. It was, no, I had to win. I have to win. I'd rather cut my arm off than lose this fight, that type of idea. And now being able to do karate combat. Going to do ADXC, some of these jiu-jitsu competitions and have fun. Go lay on the line, still do my best, still try to win. Of course, always try to win, try to do my best, try to get my hand raised. But the weight of the world, the stress that's like off my shoulders, God, it feels so good. It's so relieving to not be so hyper focused, television on, I have to win this, I have to win this, I have to win this. Like doing every single tiny detail you do, you go through my entire day was regimented out. How many calories I took in, when I took in the calories, what time I take my vitamins at. How crazy you have to be at the time when you're taking your vitamins, so your B6 not being taken too close to your freaking fish oil. It was insane how much I would go through and obsess about trying to be the best for MMA. And now I can just go have fun. Just go compete and have fun and go get my hand raised, still train super hard, but not be obsessive about like I was for my MMA career.
To prove that I actually am a real fan of yours, I'm going to tell you my favorite MMA moment of your whole career. So
All right.
you kick Frankie, and he catches it. And you hop, you hop, you hop, you hop. You get to the point where the cage is about to cut off. And with the other leg, you jump midair and you try and kick him in the head with the other leg. I've shown literally everyone this clip, and they say to me, unfortunately, they say, "Who's this guy? Is he still fighting?" But I do have to say that is the best clip. I love that clip. Can you tell me what
Thank
was
you very
happening
much,
during
man. That's
that
awesome.
moment?
That's awesome. I remember the kick. I remember the moment. I remember Frankie having my leg, and looking back on it, I keep thinking, oh, like, what if, blah, blah, blah. Like, man, if that kick would have landed, oh man, that would have been something. That would have been something special, and thinking that now, if I ever happen to get there, I mean, I turn that kick, instead of it turning into a head kick, I turn that kick into a body kick. So if they duck down, they dip down, I don't go over the head like I did with Frankie. So I still happens. I'll do it in practice every once in a while. Something happens, they have my leg. I'll throw the kick, having fun and stuff. But I just aim lower.
Anything combat with Johnny K.